Different episode. So I will take the beating for this because we originally were going to do a movie review today, but as we've said in past episodes, that it is just me and Rachel. We are the ones that edit and do everything for this podcast, and it has been a week to say the least. And so I said to Rachel yesterday that it is just not this is not the episode to do what we wanted to do. So after talking it over, we are changing gears for this episode. And I love the idea that Rachel thought of for this episode.
But don't fret. We are going to get back. If you figured out the hint that we gave last week, we are going to go back and do that. So keep an eye and you might spot something later.
I love it.
So today we're actually going to be talking about Harry Potter. Yay,
very exciting. And we are a little bit early for this review that we're doing as well.
Yes, so basically this year is going to be the 20th anniversary of the very first Harry Potter movie that came out. And I don't know about any, for a lot of people, I know like the big thing for them was the books growing up and everything. And then of course the movies that came after that, but I was not a big book reader as a child. That wasn't something I really got into until my adult life. I just didn't have the attention span for it as a child. But when the first Harry Potter movie came out, I actually remember my dad had gotten it on DVD through some like review website that he was a part of where they sent him movies for free if he reviewed them, and we fell in love absolutely immediately. It was such a wonderful story, just such a wonderful adventure. And yeah, Harry Potter was definitely the first movie coming out, like changed my life as far as how my nerdiness went from there on.
Yeah, I can't believe that is literally gonna be 20 years in November. It's wild.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I went and saw it when it came out in theaters. I went with my family friend and then I went with my dad. And we, from there on, me and my dad made it a yearly thing, or whenever the new movies came out, we would watch them together. So that's cool that me and you also have that similarity, that both we went and did this with our dads as well. So I was 9 years old. I want to say you were 8 and a half because you're half a year younger than me.
Yeah. So we didn't read the books, me and my dad, or anything. So we didn't really get into it until that first movie. But when after that, we went every single time. It was such a wonderful experience.
And this is kind of where we're going to go with this episode, is just us talking about the film, what it means to us, our fandom with it and everything, and just give a really fun episode that's not reviewing or recapping or anything in that sense.
And before we get into this episode, we do just want to say that we absolutely love Harry Potter. It was such a magical experience for both of us and for a lot of us growing up. I think we can all say that. And I just wanted to take a moment here to say that we do not condone the opinions of J.K. Rowling and Trans Lives Matter.
Thank you for giving that quick input, because I think it is important that we do mention that in this episode, because I think it is a conversation that has continued to come up and it's just worth mentioning. Well, yeah, I mean, getting into the episode and thinking about the film, the film came out in 2001. It is officially 20 years coming in November, and it's just...
I can't handle it.
I can't either, because it makes me feel like it shows my age in that sense, where I'm getting older. And it's just funny because I'm not trying to jump from a different movie, but when I did, side note, watch the final film, I felt like my childhood ended after that last film, because we grew up with these movies.
It really did. And they did such a wonderful job as these movies were coming out. And like, as we were getting to grow up with Daniel Radcliffe and Rupert Grint and Emma Watson, just getting to grow up with those three characters and those three actors, just throughout my childhood into my young adult life was absolutely wonderful. And I felt the same way. And the way that those movies got darker too, because I actually just rewatched all of them because they just hit HBO Max. And I was like, It's so silly because I own all the movies and I can literally just watch them whenever I want. And they hit HBO Max. And I was like, yes, an excuse to watch them. And I watched them. Arguably, I don't own them in 4K. So it was nice to get to watch them in 4K. Thank you, HBO Max. But I just rewatched all of them. And every single time I watch them now, I get to the third movie and I'm like, can we just turn it off? Like, can we just not go any further? I don't want to go into the dark ones.
Yeah, I have mentioned that with different people I've spoken to about these films. I had seen a photo collage made where you look at the Warner Brothers symbol before each film starts, and progressively as each movie goes on, the Warner Brothers symbol gets darker and grittier and darker. And it goes to show how dark these films do get, where I feel the first movie gives you that fun, exciting feeling where we really are introduced into Hogwarts and all of the main characters, Harry, Hermione, and Ron. And it's just that fun, lovable children kind of, I don't think of, that's not the right word.
It's literally magic.
And it just gives you that excitement of being a child and seeing something like this. I think for me, being 9 and that, I want to say Emma Watson is the same age as us. She's around the same age. So getting to see kids that are at that same age and as we are all growing up at the same time, it just kind of gives that really cool feeling of, oh, just the magic is so fun.
Yes. And that first movie too, out of all the movies, I said earlier at the beginning of this episode that I have never, like, that I never read the books as a kid, but that does not mean I have never read the books. I've read all the books multiple times now, and I own them all in Audible, so I could just listen to them whatever I want. So I don't want to get too big into comparisons on the movies to the books, but out of all of them, I feel like this one did the best job of capturing all of the important parts of the book and putting it into a movie format. My biggest complaint is that they went ahead and right out the gate decided to leave out Peeves and never brought him in.
I was just thinking that. So I can agree with Rachel. I've said multiple times on this podcast, I am not a reader. I've never been a reader. I have tried reading these books and one day I'm going to force myself to sit down and read them. But it was a few years ago that I did start reading The Sorcerer's Stone to myself. And I was messaging Rachel and saying, dude, they left this and that out. And it's so funny you bring Peeves up because I was just thinking that. They did leave him out. And I feel like that would have been such a fun character to bring to life. Side note, though, I want to say there is either a deleted scene or some part in one of the movies where he was brought in or something and they scrapped it, or I don't know
anything about that, but I'm going to have to look into that so I can see at least like the deleted scene of Peeves. The biggest thing I always remember with Peeves as far as like media outside of the books was one of the video games. I think it was the Prisoner of Azkaban video game. Had Peeves in it, and like you would be running around the school and he would cause problems for you while you were trying to hide from the prefects. I think out of all the video games, the Prisoner of Azkaban was definitely my favorite. You got to fly the hippogriff around the grounds. It was so cool.
I remember those games, and I remember playing the Lego versions too as a kid. And even now they have a few different apps. So the Hogwarts Mystery app I played for a while and I kind of fell out of love with it, and they added Peeves in that, and that's where I had to look up who this character was, because when I'm playing it I didn't know who this was until I finally got to that point in the first book and said, oh, okay, that makes sense of who this is.
Yep, he's just the poltergeist.
Don't we wish all poltergeists and demons were fun like that?
Right. He was such a prankster, and it was so, I was so bummed that he was left out of the, like, they left in so many of the ghosts. And what killed me about it is Nearly Headless Nick had so many different points in the books where he has, like, actually, like, really, really deep conversations about death and the afterlife with Harry, none of which get translated to the movies in any capacity.
Yeah, I want to say there's only, through all of the movies, maybe 2 to 3 scenes that we see Nearly Headless Nick. The first movie for sure, when we're introduced to him, because that was just CGI gold at that point. Mm-hmm. And then I want to say the third movie as well, and then some other movie we see him.
He was literally just there to, in the movies, to make the Nearly Headless jokes and then to get petrified in the second one. But I feel like they could have done, he was literally just in there to be a joke. And so I feel like if you were going to put one of the ghosts or poltergeists in the movie and then not do any of the important scenes that actually came with that ghost, that you could have just left Nearly Headless Nick out and instead put Peeves in and just done all the ghost jokes with Peeves instead. And it would have been a lot more fun. Like, can you imagine the interactions on screen we could have had with the twins?
Oh, and yeah.
Peeves? That would have been so great.
All the fun little sneaky things they could have done together and all mm-hmm. the jokes and everything. That would have been a fun dynamic.
Yes, and I would have loved that. But instead we got depressed Nearly Headless Nick and not even any of the important stuff that came with him. So,
yeah, it's just so funny because after this movie came out, it was such a hit with everybody. I want to say, as you were mentioning earlier, anybody who read all the books loved the film. People such as myself that didn't read the books, I didn't. So, you know what? I back up on that. I didn't read the books, the first one, but in third grade, that's when the film came out. My third grade teacher was reading this during story time to us. And I remember at one of the kids' birthday parties, we went and watched this film together. It's so interesting because I remember after that film, and it was such a hit, just all of the memorabilia that came after it, all of the fun Lego sets, the toys, the costumes, everything. I remember that Christmas, that was something I wanted, was the little Hogwarts castle set. It was the Polly Pocket set. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember the Polly Pocket set. And for some reason, you were like talking about this, like, just made me had a fever dream of one of my most ridiculous Halloween costumes I ever did.
What is it? What is it?
One year for Halloween, I couldn't decide if I wanted to be Hermione Granger or a cat. Do you see where I'm going with this?
You should have done both.
I did. I did do both because that movie had just came out that year. And I was like, I can do both. She drank the Polyjuice Potion. So I was Polyjuice Potion Hermione for right Halloween on. One year. It was great because Party City had a really ridiculous cat ear mask that had a cat ear and a full nose that came off the headband and hung down on your face. So it actually like looked like grotesque like she did. It was god awful. And I had like this big, giant, itchy, bushy wig. Nobody understood what I was. Everybody was like, what are you? Like, well, I don't understand, but I thought it was really clever.
I think that should be a video that you do on TikTok where you show a photo. How did I go from this to this and do a
recreate
whole
the cosplay, but yes. Yes. Honestly, I don't even know if I have a photo of that. I'll have to like get in touch with my mom and stepdad and see if they have any photos of that.
I have to see that. I have to see it. And I want to also add that I think it's just so cool too, the growth, where this is, we're strictly talking about the first movie, but still just thinking from the first to the last film, how much growth each character had, and not even from the books, because I know the books are very different from the films as well. And it's just so cool to get to see not even just the characters, but the actual actors themselves going from little kids to grown adults and seeing that. Or even certain characters where in the films you're introduced to certain people by the fourth or fifth film, and they're just so random where there was no introduction at all, versus the books where they really get into that nitty gritty of who this person is, their backstory, and things that are just missing, where most of the time books are always going to be better than the actual film or TV series.
As long as we're talking about differences from the books and the movies, I feel like we should bring up the biggest offender of all of this, which is the Goblet of Fire. Did you put your name in the goblet, Harry? Did you put your name in the goblet? The overacting in this movie kills me every time. I cannot watch the fourth movie with a straight face. I'm giggling from beginning to end until the end when I'm crying. But
it's funny because you are not the only person that's told me that, and I haven't read the book, where a lot of people were very disappointed with things that were left out or that were added that didn't need to be added, and just things that didn't make sense.
Like, the dragon, like, don't get me wrong, I love the dragons. Who doesn't want to watch a dragon fly around Hogwarts Castle? That is a really cool idea. That being said, I didn't need that. It would have been in the books. I said I wasn't going to do this, and here I am. Harry just goes in and gets that egg and just flies out. It's literally done so fast. And that's like one of the like big things about it. It's like, man, Harry is such a great wizard, just like naturally, that he was able to do this incredibly hard task in literally no time at all. And the fact that they extended it all just so they could be like, look, a dragon. Like, I feel like there was another way to do that, and that they could have still had like all the cool dragon stuff going on and not waste our time with that and put more information in other places where it needed to be.
For sure. What's interesting about the fandom, I would say, with this movie series and the book and everything, is it feels more in the last 5 years, maybe 7 or 10 years, that it's become so big as it has and blown up, versus when the films and books first came out. Mm-hmm. They were absolutely huge and amazing, but it's just, I want to say, more fandom now in recent years, with such as everybody being a certain Hogwarts house or things like that, showing your Hogwarts pride and everything.
By the way, Nikki, what Hogwarts house are you in?
I feel no shame in saying I'm 100% Hufflepuff. Stop giving us Hufflepuffs a bad name. Stop
Hufflepuffs
it.
Are great. You're my favorite Hufflepuff.
Oh, thanks.
And then I am a Ravenclaw because I'm a big smarty pants.
I'm glad you asked that. I think that is a great segue into the houses too, because I have taken so many different house quizzes. I've probably taken at least like 10 or more of them. And I kid you not, each time it comes off Hufflepuff, Hufflepuff, Hufflepuff. And I have no shame in being a Hufflepuff. I don't understand where this whole Slytherin and Gryffindor thing has come, where it's funny because we've joked about this, that Hufflepuff and Ravenclaws kind of just sit in the back and say, why are you two fighting?
Yeah. We're just like, you're just like sneaking us snacks while we're doing your homework for you. And we're just like, why are they fighting?
What is your favorite thing about being a Ravenclaw?
I think my favorite thing, and again, this is something that they didn't put in the movies, that was in the books. My favorite thing about Ravenclaw was probably the way that you get into the Ravenclaw common room. So they don't have a password for their portrait or anything. What theirs is it's a little knocker that gives you a riddle, and you have to answer the riddle to be able to get in.
That is something that I do wish that we got to see more of through the films, is the different common rooms other than just always Gryffindor and Slytherin. I feel like Hufflepuffs, other than Cedric, are hardly ever mentioned and talked about, and then same thing with Ravenclaws, where in the game, the app, the Hogwarts Mystery, you get to choose your house, you get to see the common rooms. And I love that because the Ravenclaw common room is arguably my favorite. The way that they at least have it set up in that game is it's just so blue and it's all like starry night and very pretty.
Yes, Ravenclaws definitely have the best common room too. So again, like my favorite thing about being a Ravenclaw, we have the best location and the way to get in is just cool. It's really cool.
What I love when I got onto Pottermore and I was looking and digging more into the Hufflepuffs and everything is I love that they put the common room right next to the kitchen. And the one thing that it is mentioned on that website is how they sneak out in the middle of the night to go invade the kitchen. And that is something I would definitely do.
Yes. I would probably like be like, Nikki, help me get into the kitchen. And then we would just be making jokes with the house elves the whole time.
Yeah. And that's just the magic of it. And I love especially Pottermore, that website. And again, just the fandom. And I am going to put in, I was fortunate enough. I am so thankful I did this before COVID happened, is I went to London and I got to go do the studio tour.
I'm so jealous.
If anybody is ever in London, please take the day, spend the money, and go to the making of Harry Potter. It was such a magical experience because I love the films. They are so fun. I love the fandom behind it. It is a whole nother world where you get to go there and see all the props and just be immersed in this. And after I left, I was just flabbergasted where I messaged Rachel and I think I sent you probably over 100 photos that day.
Yes, you did. It was the best day.
I would love, and I said this to you after I messaged you or called you after leaving, was I want to, when the time is right, I want to go on a trip again to London with you and Clay and go there and experience it all over again.
I want to go there with you. And I want to go back to Universal.
That's like I still haven't gone to the Universal Studios portion of it. I really need to.
Okay, so you take me to London and I'll take you to Universal.
Deal. It's just so cool because all of the props and everything, and especially how life-size things were, I can't remember from the films, which dragon is that?
So that's the one that they got out of the bank.
They literally have that exact dragon when you first walk in. And it is absolutely mind-blowing, the size of this thing.
I bet. That's so freaking cool. When you go to Universal, that's essentially the same thing. Is they have like this big like wall thing, and of course like you can't like tap the bricks or anything like that. It's just like you walk behind the wall and then you like walk behind these other walls, and then there's Diagon Alley. And when you go into Diagon Alley, it is just like the movies where you would just like look up and at the very end of the street you see Gringotts right there, and on the top of Gringotts is that freaking dragon, and it's just blowing fire out like, over the crowd and everything. It is so freaking cool.
It was just wild to see the sets in person and actually say, holy goodness, I was here where the actors were. And it still doesn't, I feel like people could see and put the argument out there where it's, oh, it ruins the magic, but I disagree.
No.
And it's the last thing I'm going to end, and I'll stop gloating about going, I'll just be honest, is in that first film where you finally get introduced and the big doors open and you see all of Hogwarts and they bring you into the Great Hall. When you get there to the studio, it's the actual two big doors and it opens to the legit real Great Hall. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about
it. Oh, I remember you sending me pictures of this though, and I was just like, oh, I'm so jealous because you were like showing me pictures. I'm like, you are this teeny person. And it's just, the doors are just like massive.
It was so magical to be there, say, oh my gosh, I got to experience exactly feeling like what I was when I was 9 years old when I saw this film. And it was just so pure cool. magic. And it goes to show how much effort and time they put into building these sets.
I mean, honestly, like, I can only imagine how that must have been and how cool it must have been. Because I remember on my very last day at Universal, one of the very last things I did was I rode the Gringotts ride for one last time. And while it was like the little train cart was coming around the corner for us to get off of the ride, Hedwig's melody started playing, and it literally broke me. I started crying immediately, and Clay's just like sitting next to me like, oh god, oh god. He's like, are you okay? Are you okay? Like, what's happening? And I'm just like, it's just so perfect, and this has just been so magical, and everybody just put in so much effort, and I love them for it. Oh, like, I literally was in tears because the whole experience is so magical. And also, like, kudos to everybody working there.
I'm still waiting for my Hogwarts letter. I mean, my owl just got lost somewhere.
What I've been telling myself recently, especially with Fantastic Beasts, us learning more about, like, the American schools and whatnot, is we didn't get Hogwarts letters because we're not in the UK. That's not our school. And we have to go to American wizard schools. And I mean, I feel like there's a reason we didn't get our letters. And it's not because we don't have any magical skills.
You went there.
I did. But that's what I had to tell myself at night on why I didn't get my Hogwarts letter.
I actually tried my first butter beer while I was there because they sell the butter beers in the glass bottles that you can buy, but it's not the same. It's not.
I was so mad. Okay. I went to Universal and it wasn't like the summer, but it wasn't quite winter yet. So I actually like went like kind of like around fall time, like right before the fall hit.
And that's the one in Orlando, right?
Yeah, I went to the one in Orlando.
So the weather was probably decent.
Yeah, not too humid. It was perfect weather, honestly. We had a great time. But I was so mad because I wanted to compare warm butter beer to cold butter beer. And I don't care what temperature it was outside, I wanted to try warm butter beer because I heard it was superior to the cold stuff. And I wanted to try it. And they wouldn't let me. They were like, we don't have any. You can only get it cold, blah, blah, blah. And don't get me wrong, it was freaking delicious. And I drank way too much of it while I was there. But they wouldn't let me have it warm. And I just wanted to try it.
I'm sitting here trying to rack my brain. I'm trying to remember if I want to say I had it cold. I want to say that's the way they usually serve it. And I want to try, I have a recipe that online they said it is a foolproof recipe. I'm going to make it one of these days and try it. But I really regret not getting, they had a butter, it's the butter beer with ice cream in it. I really regret not getting that.
I didn't get butter beer with ice cream in it, but I did go to an ice cream shop that it's, I don't think it was on the menu, but you can special request butterbeer ice cream. And oh, it was so good. I think it was just like ice cream with like butterscotch like swirled into it, but it was still yummy.
And that's what I love about the fandom again is all of these places that do participate in Harry Potter's birthday or the birthday of when the film, each film first came out. I have a lot of different sweet places. Shameless plug putting in Sweet Tooth Nikki on Instagram. Go follow me. I find all of the best sweet places. But anyways, a lot of the places that I go for desserts and sweets, they do Harry Potter's birthday where they have these drinks that you can, which house are you? And you shake it up and it gives you the color house. And I just say, give me whatever one is Hufflepuff.
Oh, that is so cute though. I love that. That is so adorable.
Another one I will input for, there's this amazing place. They make gourmet s'mores. They're called Toast and Mallow. I love this place. For Harry Potter's birthday month, they always make these fun little marshmallow treats that have an input of which house are you? So the cookie dough in the middle is colored. So it's a surprise. It's a sorting hat suite.
That is so cute. Oh, I love this. This is adorable.
I'm going to have to take you there whenever we are reunited again if you come out.
Yes, please. Oh my God, that is so cute.
I do. That's another thing I want to do is we have so many things on our friendship of a bucket list that we have together is I want us to go dress up in our house uniforms and go to Universal. Or
I have one. I have my Ravenclaw stuff. I got it as soon as I was there. Like one of the first stops I made was I went and got my robes picked out because I had to get my Ravenclaw robes.
That is one thing I regret not getting while I was there too. Whenever I do go to Universal and experience that, I will probably spend the money and buy a robe. Instead, I wound up buying all kinds of other Hufflepuff stuff, but I do need a robe. I've bought in the tie, the long socks that are knee highs, the skirt and everything. I just need the robe.
I love the robes. They're so nice. And what's nice about them is they have like this like really long pocket on the inside just for your wand. It's so great.
What do you, I know you have one wand. I don't remember if you have a few or.
I only have the one wand. They were very expensive. And because I wanted to get the interactive one, it was even more expensive, but let's not talk about that.
Which one is it?
So the one that I picked out, so if you go on Pottermore, a lot like sorting hat quiz, there is a wand quiz so that you can have a wand pick you. And they have like all of the different wands from all the different characters, but then they have a wide selection of wands that aren't associated with any characters that are just different wand designs and stuff. So what I did is I just pulled up my wand on Pottermore and like was just sitting there like comparing wands to my one on Pottermore until I found one that matched it and I bought that wand.
They had an amazing wide selection of characters, but they did not have what you're saying, like the ones that are similar to Pottermore. So I had such a hard time. I kept going back and forth through Ginny's and then Harry's. And I said, you know what? I just got to get the main man Harry's. So I bought Harry's and no regrets. And I figured anytime I do Universal, I'll buy more. But mine on Pottermore is very similar to Ginny's. So that's why I was close to buying hers.
Nice. Mine isn't really very much like a lot of the wands that are in the movies. So I don't really have one to compare it to. It's just like a kind of simple brown wand that's like got like a nice kind of handle on the end of it. And of course, all of the wands at Universal are the same springiness, but my description is very bendy and springy. So that's my wand. If I go back, I'm probably going to end up getting Luna's wand just because I've always really wanted to do a Luna Lovegood cosplay. And then if I were to go back for a third time, I would probably get Hermione's wand.
Yeah, I love Hermione. She is probably arguably one of my favorite characters, obviously next to Harry, of course.
And her wand is just so pretty and elegant. I love her wand. She has probably one of the prettiest wands.
If there could be a mashup, I could see that wand being Poison Ivy's wand if right? She went to Hogwarts.
Right, and that's always what I think of when I see her. Is like it kind of kills me that she wasn't the one who got into herbology or anything.
Oh, I know. I feel I will always have such a love for Harry Potter anything, especially the whole houses and being a Hufflepuff. And it's just funny because if you're somebody that believes in astrology or anything like that, I feel as if they really did do a good job with the traits for each house, that it just feels very true to my essence.
I absolutely love, there's just so much I could say about Harry Potter that there is to love. It just did such a wonderful job of telling just like a fun story about growing up, coming of age, dealing with hardships, and just watching all the characters grow and change. And even like, again, like the actors and everything. The two Dumbledores that we had were both absolutely wonderful. Alan Rickman, like, Snape rest his soul. He was such a wonderful, wonderful man, did such a wonderful job bringing Snape to life. And like, I'm not in the fan club of like, Snape was misunderstood. Now, Snape was still a, I have issues with Snape, but Alan Rickman is not one of them. So just such a wonderful job. And then everybody else.
I want to also give a shout out to Tom Felton, who played Draco Malfoy, because he is one of those actors that did such a great job that you hate on screen, but he seems like such a sweet person. I love seeing his TikTok videos where he's getting all these mashups of people going, Potter, Potter, trying to find the best person that's saying Potter. He is just such a sweetheart. He seems like a sweetheart. And
all of the interviews that he's in, he sounds like such a sweetheart too.
I want to also adding on to people that are sweet, out of all of the things I've read online, that people who have met a lot of these actors and actresses, that all of them have just been genuine, really nice people. Like Daniel Radcliffe, when he would be doing any of his Broadway shows, he was one of the people that would go out and meet so many of the fans, take photos. And I just want to commend him for being just a sweet person to be able to do that. Because I'm sure he obviously knows he will always be Harry Potter. Whether they remake these in 20, 30 years, he will always be Harry Potter in my heart. And I love him for that.
Mm-hmm. And the way he carries that too is so absolutely wonderful, because so many people, and I feel like he probably felt this way for a while. I don't want to be this anymore. I want to, like, I'm an actor, I do other things. But like, I feel like he's done a wonderful job of like carrying the fact that he is Harry Potter to so many of us, and that's just never going to change, while also being like, well, I'm going to still like do my thing. And he does such a wonderful job still bringing those roles to life. Like, I've been watching him in Miracle Workers, and that show,
the video I sent you a few weeks ago.
Yes. Like, you sent me that. I was like, yeah, this was freaking hilarious. Like, oh, him in that show. There's another, like, Nikki, if you liked that one, there's another one. The finale had another one of him like getting drunk and then doing all a dragged up kind of. Yeah. Like it was fabulous. And he just does a wonderful job with comedy. And what was that other movie he was in? The Swiss Army Man?
I have not seen that one, but I've seen the movie where I think it's called Horns.
Oh, that one was pretty good too. But oh, watch Swiss Army Man. That one was something else entirely.
I have to add on 100% to what you're saying, is he seems like somebody that does not take himself very seriously. He's very fun. And adding on, I will say that there are celebrities and actors and actresses, and I get it, they want to move past specific roles. I'm thinking of one person in particular. And that they just don't want to be associated with this role anymore. And I love that he still holds on to Harry Potter, because he knows that's where it all got really probably started for him. And just, I love that he is so open to, yeah, I'll still answer any Harry Potter questions when I see fans. And it seems like that with a lot of the cast too.
Honestly, I would love to get to meet any of them, but especially Emma Watson. I would love to get to meet Emma Watson. But then again, like, at this point though, I don't know if I would even bring up Hermione, because I would just be like, you did such a good job with Bill. I love you.
There's a video that came out in 2016 where Daniel Radcliffe is at, I'll have to find it, either Vogue magazine or somewhere, and he's at the reception area, and he's seeing, it's a joke to see how many people come in and recognize him, and some people had no idea that it was him, and I would have been like, you're Harry Potter!
I probably would have walked by him at first, and like, then the wait a minute. Yeah. Wait. I did.
Yeah. I'll have to send you that video, because it is pretty funny to watch.
Yes, please do.
And then last side note on Daniel Radcliffe that I will add is he was on the TV series Hot Ones a few weeks ago or a month or so ago.
I didn't see that one.
I'll send it to you. He please. Ate those wings like a champ.
Oh, my God.
Da Bomb, he did so well with that one.
I have to watch it now. Oh, my God. I never, like, nobody ever gets through them. They're just like, I'm dead. Like, kill me now. Like, I can't handle it anymore.
I really still want to go on that show with Clay. I think me and him would be...
He well needs done. A partner. He's never sure who he wants to take. And every time he's like, you want to go? I'm like, you would lose. You would lose if you took me. All right. You're going to go. You're going to go. Okay. You would play on Hot Ones.
Let's do it.
I'll just be in the background like, get it, guys. I don't know how you're doing this. I'm just, my eyes are burning and I'm in the back row.
Don't touch your eyes.
Harry Potter was so important to me, like so many people. And just thank you so much to the entire cast, the entire crew, everybody who brought Universal, and of course the ones all over the world that I kind of want to visit all of them, because like I think there's a Hogwarts in Japan. I want to visit that one. But to all the people who just bring the magic to life for all of us, like, you're real witches and wizards, y'all.
Yeah, thank you for sure, because I just can't imagine now, even as a grown adult, a world without Harry Potter. I can't.
No.
And I don't want to imagine one without it. I wouldn't have my Lego Hogwarts castle that I've been working on.
That is the coolest thing. I do want to just for everybody listening, get a little earworm ready for you. Snape, Severus Snape, Dumbledore.
I remember when that video first came out and it was so exciting. Everyone freaked out on YouTube when it first dropped.
I love Puppet Pals. Puppet Pals is fantastic.
Well, everybody, we will catch you in our next review. Thank you so much for staying with us through this bonus intermediate episode. And until next time, everybody, bye!
If you like Two Girls, One Review, go subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Harry Potter, Harry Potter, Harry Potter, Harry Potter. Serious Snape.